The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome to NFL Live on a Friday. We're so glad you're with us. We're getting you ready for a fascinating week 8. One person here telling you why 49ers coach Kyle Shanahan could be the coach of the year after Sunday. You see all these people. We got a couple who have played in that Steelers-Ravens rivalry. That would be Marcus Spears and Ryan Clark. Mina Kimes also here with us. And we've got so much to get to. But how about Sunday? Just a few of the great games that we have for you in week 8 and the matchups to watch. So, Mina, let's start with you. What's your matchup to watch this week?
You know, Aaron Rodgers, more like Scaring Rodgers, Laura, because this is a terrifying matchup for a Minnesota defense that just traded away their best pass rusher. Now they get to face the best offensive line of pass protecting in the NFL. Aaron Rodgers is absolutely going to shred this weekend. I feel sorry for the Vikings defense.
Hey, listen, and if you're one of those people that like Halloween and you like horror movies and you might watch Freddy Krueger, you might watch Jason Voorhees, what you need to watch is Tua Tagovailoa go against the Los Angeles Rams so you can see a real horror story, so you can see a real killer in Aaron Donald. I can't wait to see what they do to minimize him or if Aaron Robert Donald gets loose and has a scary, scary weekend for Tua Tagovailoa.
You're right, RC, but I'm going to go to the big matchup of the week with the Ravens and the Steelers. Ronnie Stanley just got paid, baby. He got the sum of $98 yes. million, dollars, but this week he got T.J. Watt and Bud Dupree. It does not stop, big dog. You're going to earn them millions that the Ravens just gave you. We'll see if you can keep them contained, big dog.
Yeah, Marcus, this Steelers offense ranks first in time of possession and is tied for fifth in points, but lacked explosiveness thus far. Only the Jets have fewer 10-yard plays this season. On the other side of the ball, Lamar Jackson hoping to bounce back from his only career start against Pittsburgh, where he threw 3 interceptions while taking 5 sacks. And it'll certainly be a tough test for Jackson and Big Ben on both sides, as this game features the league's most efficient defenses who are finding success with their aggressive blitzing schemes. Ryan, you know the Steelers defense well. You've played in this rivalry. But why is this game even bigger for the Steelers, even long term for this season?
Well, listen, this game is important because this is about saying you belong. This is about saying that the group of people that you've put together are the best group of people that you could see, the best group of people that you could put on the field. It's kind of like Casual Fridays on NFL Live. We come on here every week to show y'all that when y'all put us together, this the best group you could put together. So we got to come out and shine. That's what the Baltimore Ravens and Pittsburgh Steelers matchup is about. They have to go out there and show you that they are the number one contender to the throne. They are the team that has the pieces that could beat the Kansas City Chiefs. And what better way to do that when you aren't getting the credit, when you aren't getting talked about, than to beat the team that was the favorite of many coming into the season? Right now, it's time for the Pittsburgh Steelers to show in back-to-back weeks they can go on the road and win in Tennessee and in Baltimore while keeping the lead for the first playoff spot in the AFC by beating the Baltimore Ravens.
No doubt, RC, but you know what you love about this game, man. It's a throwback to old school football. Like, we talk about 53 in the third and teams using spread offenses and speeding things up and using jet sweep motion and all of that. This is a slobber knocker. This is the Ravens personnel against the Pittsburgh Steelers personnel. This is big on big. Both teams like to run the football, and both teams like to stop the run. And then on the back end, Ben is getting the ball out of his hands real quick. Calais Campbell has to have a big game. We have to hear his name called quite a bit in this matchup. And also, Humphreys, Peters, Smith on the back end against Claypool, Juju, Deontay Johnson, James Washington. This is about playmakers making plays. I love the fact that we break down personnel decisions and schemes and what this team can do to take advantage of some things about weaknesses, but not this one. This is a great matchup on both sides of the ball, and it's going to boil down to Big Ben either playing out Lamar Jackson or vice versa, and the Ravens personnel and the Pittsburgh Steelers personnel, and seeing if you can beat your man. Because at the end of the day, all right, I know all of the schemes matter, and I know it helps. But the game still boils down to, can you whoop the man across from you? And that's what I love about this matchup. I love about this series. And that's what's going to be fun about this game, Mina Kimes.
Yeah, well, so, Mina, when you think about the personnel situation here, especially for Lamar Jackson, does he have enough weapons, particularly when it comes to on the outside in that offense, to be able to get this done? How can this Ravens coaching staff help Lamar, even from a scheme standpoint right now?
Well, from that standpoint, Laura, this is a really challenging matchup for Lamar in particular, because what does the Steelers' defense do very well? Blitz. They are an absolute nightmare up front. What has Lamar struggled at this season? He has struggled against the blitz. And I want to put something to rest. I've heard people say, yes, this is he's exposed. Lamar was second in QBR versus the blitz last year. He was amazing out of empty, but this year he has regressed, the protection has regressed, and you alluded to the weapons. He simply doesn't have that secondary weapon to Hollywood Brown and Mark Andrews, tertiary, I guess, that he can hit quickly underneath, and that's what he's going to have to do against this Steelers defense. At times, he's going to have to get that ball out quickly. He's also going to have to run. I would not be surprised if Lamar Jackson carries the ball more in this football game than he has all season. The Steelers' run defense is terrifying. A name we don't talk about enough, Tyson Alualu. Yeah. He is playing out of his mind next to Cam Hayward. You can't run. I know Marcus said this is going to be a slobber knocker. Yeah. You can't run it up the middle against Pittsburgh. You got to get outside. Lamar's going to have to get outside and run the football himself.
Hey, really quickly, Mina, when you think about the trade deadline rapidly approaching, it's next Tuesday. Do you think the Ravens need to go out and get somebody to help Lamar?
Please, Baltimore, if you're listening, bring Lamar another wide receiver. I don't, Jamison Crowder, Golden Tate, I don't care. Someone other than Hollywood Brown and Mark Andrews. You see defenses keying in on those two guys. He needs another option. Doesn't have to be a deep threat, just a veteran who he can rely on.
Ryan, can the Ravens secondary handle the Steelers' offense?
Absolutely. Listen, when you look at the first rounders they've put together in the secondary with Marcus Peters, with Marlon Humphrey, and the way that Deshaun Elliott has stepped up with Earl Thomas exiting, I think that this is a very talented secondary, but they're extremely opportunistic. I think gone are the days of shutting down people, right, and keeping people in single digits. But what you can do is turn the ball over. Marlon Humphrey is a guy that even when passes are caught on him, he gets the football out. He did it against Juju Smith-Schuster to help win the game last year. And everyone knows that Marcus Peters, though he has bad eyes sometimes and though he can get out of place, if you make a mistake with a football around him, he will pick it off. And I think that's where this secondary comes into play this week, because we know that Ben will extend plays. Ben will try to fit balls into tight spaces. And if you do that, you give these opportunistic DBs opportunities to make plays. So it's going to be a very intriguing matchup, because where they can give up big plays, they can also make them. And I believe the turnover ratio will be the deciding factor in this game.
Man, Ryan, great points, man.
You're so right about that.
Y'all know what else? Like, go ahead, Mina.
Go ahead, Marcus. Mina, get back in.
Okay.
Marcus,
I'm sorry. What I was saying is, when you think about the perception, right, of this team, of the Baltimore Ravens, the winning of the regular season, good team. Yes, the Ravens are good. But this is one of those answers that we need to know if this team can legitimately be a Super Bowl contender.
Absolutely.
And Mina brought up a great point. Lamar Jackson does not have the requisite weapons based on what we see other teams that are Super Bowl contenders have. So can they overcome that? Can his talent overcome that? Because, look, this game for the Baltimore Ravens is going to answer a lot of questions. What's been the narrative? Offensively, they stagnant. They hadn't found a rhythm. No identity. Can't play from behind. Well, there'll be times in this game where they have to play from behind and make plays. This will tell us a lot about if the Baltimore Ravens are Super Bowl contenders or just a good team throughout the regular season that gives people problems because Lamar Jackson is their quarterback.
I think there's been more hand-wringing about this Baltimore Ravens team than any 5-1 squad I can remember. Everyone's so focused on this offense looking slightly worse than last season that they've ignored the fact that this is one of the best defenses in the NFL. And to Ryan's point, they are uniquely situated to stop this Steelers offense, which has been tremendously efficient because of the physicality of their corners. They can play tight coverage. That ball's coming out hot. Ben Roethlisberger's been throwing the ball faster than any quarterback in the league. But the Ravens have the manpower to not only cover and keep those throws underneath and limit yards after catch, which, by the way, that's the Steelers' offense right there. It's all about yards after catch. Mm. These Ravens' corners can limit them. They can also force turnovers. And if they force Ben to turn the ball over, they can win this football game.
All right, we're going to pick this game later on. Wait till you see who these guys are picking. We're going to get to that, so stay tuned.
NFL Live is brought to you by The Mandalorian. New season now streaming on Disney Plus. Rated TV-14.
Okay. At some point, they got to win a damn game that they supposed to win, y'all.
Let's look at our game pick. All of us on the Panthers, except somebody.
At some point, there has to be an explosion of offense.
Morgan Spears is picking the Falcons.
This should be the night that the Falcons finally finish a damn game.
Gurley, left side, touchdown Atlanta. And the Falcons are headed to their second win of the year.
All right, Marcus, they did it for you. The Falcons finally got you that win. You picked them a couple times. They let you down, but not last night.
Yes! I knew it, Els. I knew it. At some point, this team actually should be 5-3 if you think about the way they've lost three of these games that they've lost this year. And finally, they took a lead, and they closed the game out with an interception, brought pressure, got to Teddy and made Teddy force a bad throw. But you see it here. You see the Cowboy game, pick up the ball, that's a win. You don't leave a man wide open in the middle of the field and you get a W against them. And then Todd Gurley, we all know that you cannot not score touchdowns when you're playing the running back spot. But this should have been a win as well. So when you look at last night and you think about where Atlanta is offensively, Julio showed up big, that's what we expect. Matt Ryan played well. I don't know what the status is on Calvin Ridley, but that could be huge going down the road. But if you look at this Atlanta team, they are scary offensively. Now, their offensive line is something left to be desired. We all know that. But this team has put up points in all of those games that they've lost or either stayed close and kept it close, and finally they get a game-sealing interception last night to close out a win. That's what we needed to see. We needed the curse to be gone, Els.
I think they did it for you. And by the way, this was Matt Ryan's first victory without a passing touchdown since week 5 of the 2015 season. So there you go. All right, let's get to the Patriots and Bills. And Cam Newton hadn't looked like the Cam that we saw earlier this season for the past few weeks. He even got benched last week. The pressure is on with the Pats record at 2-4. So he's been real candid about this week, and he spoke with the media earlier, was asked what he's learned being in that New England market. Here's what he said.
Losing is not acceptable in this locker room, in this county, in this state, in this area, in this region. So Cameron Newton, you need to pick your expletive up. That's what I've learned.
Okay, let me just say really fast, I love Cam Newton for saying that. He's pointed the finger at himself this whole time, hasn't made excuses. But either way, Marcus, against this Bills team, you're going to see Cam Newton out there to start. But if it doesn't go well, how long can he stick in the game? How long can Belichick leave him in there?
Oh, eventually, if it goes like we saw against the 49ers, it'll be quick. Because at some point, you got to get Jarrett Stidham in there. And maybe they know what Jarrett Stidham has, or they don't, and they have to give him a look and give him real time in a football game. Because the bottom line is, Cam should be pointing the finger at himself, because Cam has been doing some terrible, atrocious things with the football. 3 interceptions, and he only threw 15 passes the last time we saw him. That's 1 in every 5. I'm no math guru, but that's easy for me to divide 3 into 15. That ain't gonna get it done. We saw him get set in that game, and Jarrett Stidham come in. If Cam starts this game off bad, look for Bill Belichick to make a move to Jarrett Stidham, to see what he has, and even to put Jarrett Stidham out there for the 31 other teams that may be wanting to find either a backup quarterback or a guy that can keep the boat afloat if things happen or transpire throughout the league. So now you get into playing with personnel, and we're looking at a trade deadline Tuesday. Cam doesn't play well, doesn't start well, has a bad first quarter, second quarter. We'll see Jarrett Stidham in there real quick.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
If Jarrett Stidham's in the game, the boat will sink, Marcus. It's not going to stay afloat. And the 31 teams probably won't be watching because they also know what Jarrett Stidham is. But when I'm listening to Cam Newton go through that whole thing about what's not acceptable in all the regions and cities and counties of Foxborough, Massachusetts, or wherever he's talking about, it sounds like something that was written by an angry fan. I don't know if it was Matt Damon, Ben Affleck, or the Wahlbergs who wrote that, but it seems like Cam is listening to some of the things that are going on around him. But he's absolutely right. This is all going to be pointed at Cam Newton. Cam Newton is the guy replacing the GOAT. And you're starting to hear the things, well, they had these same weapons last year, but they still won 12 games. They aren't the same weapons, and they aren't the weapons that are being utilized the same way. And Cam Newton hasn't been the same since returning from the coronavirus absence. And so if he doesn't go out and play well this week, if they can't find some sort of offense, Cam Newton won't only be talking about the end of his stint in New England. He'll be talking about maybe the end of his stint as a starting quarterback in the NFL. I know Jarrett Stidham isn't the answer, but if they have to move on to Jarrett Stidham, this signifies not only the end of the season for Cam Newton and the end of his stint as a starter, this signifies the end of the New England Patriots actually trying to win games and get into the playoffs. That's what's riding on this Buffalo Bills game, so they better come out ready and they better play well.
Well, and if you think about this offense, guys, you don't have Julian Edelman, who's been a reliable target for Cam Newton, and you also don't have N'Keal Harry now either, so both of those guys out. So, Mina, you know, that's one thing. And then you look at how this offense is constructed and what it's looked like, even in recent years, even when Tom Brady was there. Bill Belichick's the GM of this team. How much goes to blame on his shoulders?
Whew. Okay. Bill Belichick is not above reproach. He's made mistakes. I just want to throw that out there, right? N'Keal Harry, obviously, you know, not the greatest draft pick. Sony Michel. But the scariest thing I've seen on Halloween today is people saying that he should be fired as GM or that he's not, you know, a great GM because of this one season. I mean, we're talking about the man who traded a bag of chips for Randy Moss and Aqib Talib, who drafted Joe Thuney, Shaq Mason. I mean, the list goes on. It's very hard in the NFL to be competitive every single season and stay on top when you're a winning team. The Patriots came into this season, and because of opt-outs for COVID, lost more defensive talent than any team of the last 20 years. So I am not putting one season as this huge blemish on Bill Belichick's record. Now, again, that's not absolving him. Clearly, his man's made some mistakes. But give me a break. He's still Bill Belichick.
Oh, let's sing all ye praises of Bill Belichick, who never makes a mistake. I want to die, please.
Oh, no.
Hey, listen, no, I'm not letting it happen. Listen, because I played in Pittsburgh, and I didn't play with Bill Belichick. I didn't play with a coach that won six championships, but I did play for a coach who's never had a losing season. And every time the Pittsburgh Steelers aren't doing great, it's a total indictment on who Mike Tomlin is as a coach. I don't care about Bill Belichick, the GM. He ain't never got to draft another player. But let's talk about Bill Belichick, the coach. Bill Belichick, the coach who forgets to throw the red flag when he should be challenging so he can get the ball in Kansas City territory when there is a clear fumble, who misses that because he's arguing another call. The Bill Belichick, who was clearly outcoached by Kyle Shanahan last week. And I know he's missing people. Guess who else is missing people? Kyle Shanahan. So, yes, we have to talk a little bit about Bill Belichick's failures this year. We're going to have to talk about it at the end of the season, that even though he is the GOAT, the greatest of all time that's ever been on the sideline, he is not perfect. And this year is a perfect example of it. I don't think this shows that Tom Brady was more important to the dynasty than anybody else. But what it does show is that you need players. It shows that players are more important. And I don't care if it's the triangle offense, or I don't care if it's the fire zone blitz. You can draw it up on a piece of paper, but if you ain't got the dudes, you ain't got the dudes. He doesn't have the dudes, but they also don't look prepared. So the GM, okay, we might give him a pass, but the coach, he getting whipped this year.
I'm not gonna let you do it, Ryan. I'm not gonna let you do it. I know you wanna do it.
Can't let me,
but I'm
can't
not gonna
stop
let you
me.
Do it. Because extenuating circumstances that were unforeseen in this particular situation.
Thank you.
Is the reason. All right. We gotta at least acknowledge that. I agree with you. He can have coaching flubs
better than
and
Duck
things
Hodges.
Can be bad and certain. Ryan, Pittsburgh had the number one defense in the league, bro.
Like,
come on, man. Come on,
Marcus.
Don't act like this is the same. Don't act like this the same, man. Don't you do that. You're not going to do that today, because I know you, Ryan Clark. I've been with you. You forgot I've been with you since I was a little kid walking on LSU campus. I understand what you're trying to do.
You
wasn't
never
let you do it to Bill Belichick.
You would never live.
You were my little big brother. I was the big younger brother. Anyway, when we start having this conversation.
Ryan Clark going after Derrick Henry, Bill Belichick. Next week, he's going to go after puppies. I can't wait.
Oh, he better not. Ryan, you better
donuts.
Not.
Donuts.
Dang.
I like puppies. I like puppies and donuts. I like Bill Belichick.
All right, so puppies and donuts.
I can't say nothing bad about
puppies
it.
And donuts are safe, but nobody else is. And we've established that you don't like Bill Belichick either. Anyway, we'll see how all this ends up.
I like him.
Yeah, but see, I got the last word, so you can say you like him, but I said you didn't like him. Ooh, are we ready for week 8 or what? And how about this? Maybe spooky for some people. San Francisco against Seattle. Remember this? Let's take a little trip down memory lane of last year, the final play of the 2019 regular season. Of course, you see it there. But these teams first met in week 10 when the Niners entered with a perfect 8-0 record. The defense is dominated in that one. 7 combined turnovers, but Seahawks ultimately won in overtime thanks to that 42-yard field goal from Jason Myers. Then in week 17, with home field advantage on the line, the Seahawks charged back from a fourth quarter deficit thanks to that DK Metcalf touchdown less than 4 minutes to go, eventually stopped by Dre Greenlaw's goal line stand. Could be another close one. Marcus on the Seahawks, you see it here for this game, while Mina and Ryan have the 49ers. So, Mina, the 49ers without Deebo Samuel, how can they pull this off without him? They've been having to do it all year long, dealing with injuries and still having success.
Two words, Laura. Kyle Shanahan. I mean, the guy is like a contestant on Chopped. You could give him kale, candy corn, and a bag of peanuts, and he would bake you a damn cake. He outcoached Bill Belichick last week, and we didn't really talk about it because the story was Cam Newton, but he was fully in his bag. Now, I actually think Seattle's defense matches up pretty well with San Francisco, in particular K.J. Wright. The linebacker has been phenomenal against screens, jet sweeps, defending short passes this year. But if you're going to ask me to choose between Kyle Shanahan without Deebo and the Seahawks without Jamal Adams, because it looks like he might not play, I'm taking Shanahan in that matchup.
Well, we've officially changed Mina Kimes, because I just knew damn well she was about to take the Seattle Seahawks and not leave me out here on the island. But I guess I'll be right again. Thursday night, I win Atlanta. I'm going to go Seattle this trip. And it's because Russell Wilson, threw three interceptions, guys, and they only lost by 3 points. Now, you think about that for a second. He will not – last time Russell Wilson threw three picks, first of all. And then when you look at the situation that's the situation that San Francisco is in, I really believe this, though. If Seattle comes out and they are hitting and clicking early and they can get a couple scores up on San Francisco, who may have to find some things offensively, and I know Kyle Shanahan has been tremendous, but if you dare Jimmy G to throw the ball down the field, that's when you want to live in that wheelhouse as far as San Francisco beating you. The second thing is, I think the Debo thing is huge because Debo creates a lot of mismatches and creates a lot of leverage problems for defenses, and then he runs the football like a running back as well. I'm thinking Seattle's offense is going to be blazing. I'm believing Russell Wilson is not going to have another three turnover game and actually have a pissed off mentality playing in this game because they did drop that game to Arizona. It means more to me to see Seattle play well, thinking about where they want to get. The trade that they just made in order to get Carlos Dunlap. This team cannot afford to lose this game. So to me, it's Seattle playing with their backs against the wall more so than San Francisco.
Ooh, Marcus, way to go out on a limb and pick the team that's only lost one game to win. Ooh, it's spooky season, Halloween. But you know what, honestly, though, the things that Marcus is saying is true, but I do like the way the San Francisco 49ers play defense, especially now with Jason Verrett and Emmanuel Mosley on the outside. They were shuffling a lot of guys at corner. I feel like you're going to force the Seattle Seahawks to make plays in front of you, and then that allows you to run and tackle. And obviously, when you're playing against Russell Wilson, there's going to be a fear. They're talking about letting Russ cook, and Russ has cooked this year. But Marcus saying that Russell Wilson is going to be upset and be pissed off, have you ever seen a more positive person? Hell no. Russell Wilson's not going to be upset. He's going to come out and try to do Russell Wilson things. But Kyle Shanahan always coaches mad. Always coaches angry. You take away one of his great players, one of his pieces, he finds another way to attack you. And the Seattle Seahawks defense hasn't played well this year. This is no longer the Legion of Boom. I think that Kyle Shanahan finds a way to move the ball down the field, but also possess the football and keep Russell Wilson from having the opportunities to beat them. I got the San Francisco figure this thing out in a very close one.
Yeah, guys, our football power index has this game as the closest of all week 8 games, with Seattle holding a 50.5% chance to win. So Marcus got that 0.5% chance in there for FPI, so they'd be on his side. Let's get Phil Yates in here now with some injury updates ahead of week 8. Starting field with Saints wide receiver Michael Thomas. Drew Brees would love to get this guy back. What can you tell us about his health?
Maybe next week, Laura, as an all-too-familiar refrain is once again upon us with Michael Thomas. He's out on Sunday against the Bears because of both a hamstring and also an ankle issue. The target date remains week 9, but as we know for the Saints this season with Michael Thomas, it has been an at times confusing situation, but they hope to have their record-setting receiver back next week. Now let's go to Baltimore, that huge matchup between the Ravens and the Steelers. Mark Ingram was just doubtful to play on Sunday. He hasn't practiced at all this week. It's an ankle injury that was suffered 2 weeks ago. So it may not be major, but I don't expect him to play on Sunday. Plenty of J.K. Dobbins and also Gus Edwards on Sunday for that Ravens offense. And another one that at first looked minor was Aaron Jones. It was a calf injury suffered in practice last Thursday. Well, it cost him last week's game, and it's cost him all of practice this week, and he's out on Sunday for the Green Bay Packers. The good news is Jamal Williams is an ideal compliment to have in your backfield, and prepare yourselves for some Ben DiNucci, the 7th round pick out of James Madison, the first player in Pennsylvania high school football history to throw for 4,000 passing yards in a season. The reason why, Andy Dalton is officially doubtful to play, has not practiced at all this week after that nasty concussion suffered last Sunday. So for at least 1 week, we expect Ben DiNucci against the Eagles for the Cowboys, their third quarterback of the season. One more note here, Laura, Allen Robinson has had his game status updated from questionable to doubtful for the Chicago Bears. He's been in concussion protocol this week. So there's a chance the Bears, who are already struggling on offense, will not have their best offensive player against the Saints on Sunday.
All right, great stuff from Field Yates. Thank you for that.
Y'all know what time it is.
Oh, yeah. All right. Yeah, a little spooky getting here right now. Halloween is tomorrow, and Marcus Spears, his scariest defensive lineman in the league right now. It's time for Spears Fears. Take it away, Marcus.
Yes, let me start at number 5. I wanted to put a little something together for the kids because it's Halloween, and I need to make sure they understand who the terrors are on the defensive line in the NFL. At number 5, I got Chucky, but Chucky represents Chris Jones because Chris Jones got that baby face. And then when the game starts, he just started destroying guards all over the place. It's people hanging all off of him. He hitting them with the stab and pushing them and knocking down quarterbacks. So Chris Jones is Chucky because don't let the baby face fool you. He'll knock you silly. At number 4, I tweeted about this guy last night. I said I didn't give you enough credit. And like Freddy Krueger, who was the first scary man, we tend to forget how scary Freddy Krueger was. Always in your room. That's Grady Jarrett from the Atlanta Falcons. Did you see him last night? Did you see what he did to the Carolina Panthers offensive line? Did you see on 4th-and-1 when he got the push against the double team and knocked the running back backwards? That's Grady Jarrett. I'll never forget you again, brother, because you Freddy Krueger. We can get lost in that sometimes. And 3, I got the man, the myth. Now, you could say he's not truly a defensive lineman, but I'm going to put him at D-line when he rushing the quarterback. Michael Myers is representing my man, T.J. Watt. No, I did not say J.J. I said T.J., and he's showing up in a big matchup this weekend against the Baltimore Ravens. He's dropping in coverage. He also is getting to the quarterback. You never know where he at. Like Michael Myers, he just walked down the street. You think you can run from him, and he right up on you. That's T.J. Watt. At number 2.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
I got Pennywise with it because he lives down in the dirty. That's my boy at number 2. That's Myles Garrett. All you see is his eyeballs when he coming because offensive tackles act like they don't see the underneath move and the rip and how low he can get when he bending the edge. But Myles keeps sacking quarterbacks and act like can't nobody see him because he hiding down low, peeping out of the gutter, waiting for a quarterback to walk past that thing. And y'all know who number 1 is, last but not least, Jason Voorhees. Is he the legend? Tell the truth. He the legend. He wear a damn hockey mask. How scary is a hockey mask? Very scary. That's Aaron Donald. Tua, prayers up for your brother, because you got this man Aaron Donald this weekend, and we know you can line him up at defensive end. You can line him up at D tackle. You can put him at linebacker if you want to. It seems like every time you're in a room where you go to hide, Jason is standing in the corner and you think you're to hear from him right there to knock you out. That's Aaron Donald. That's my top 5 scariest D lineman. Happy Halloween to all the kids out there.
Spears, fears. RC, you got the slow clap going.
I have, there's nothing to add to that. The list was perfect and the presentation was better.
All right, 1 second. Marcus, evil
my
laugh.
Man.
Evil awesome. Laugh. One more time. Evil laugh. I need it. Okay. All right, I'm sorry.
Yeah, Friday.
Okay. All right, let's get back on track. back here. Tua Tagovailoa making his first career start for the Dolphins on Sunday. What a better way to welcome you to the NFL than that really scary Aaron Donald, or whatever you want to call him, based on Spears. Yeah, not really. Rookie QBs are 0-5 with a QBR of 31 against the Rams since 2014 when Donald broke into the league. Plus, Aaron Donald has registered 5.5 sacks in those 5 games. Surely looking for more this weekend against Tua. So now time for some smart lineup decisions informed by IBM Watson. Marcus, is it the right decision for the Dolphins to start Tua in this particular game?
No, Els, it's not. And we all know why. I just showed you the damn man, the scariest man in the NFL. And it's because Aaron Donald. Yeah. We saw what this defensive lineman did against Chicago. Mm. We know that Leonard Floyd turned it on, and everything is predicated on them pressuring the quarterback with four and keeping guys in coverage. And they have to implement some things Tua did in college as far as the RPO. But when Aaron Donald guesses, he usually guesses right. So Tua is not only going to be under pressure, he's going to get hit in this game. And maybe you want to see where he is from an injury standpoint, but I would not let a rookie who's coming off of an injury, even though I believe he's healthy and should have been playing, I would feel more comfortable if he would have already been playing. But not in this particular situation. I think you're setting him up to have a bad one.
And the only thing that scares me here is Tua Tagovailoa having the habit of holding on to the ball a little bit too long in the pocket, trying to extend plays.
Yes.
I hope that they've talked to him about getting the ball out of his hands quickly, accurately, and moving the pocket so Aaron Donald doesn't get a bead on it.
Ryan, you're absolutely right. Every time Tua holds on to the football for more than 2.5 seconds, it's going to be like when you're watching a horror movie and you see someone go into the basement. Don't go into the basement, Tua. Football. I wouldn't be surprised if they
why can't we get in the running car more
often. You know, you're right. You know, in college, yes, sometimes he held on too long, but he does have a quick release, and he's such a smart quarterback. He's so good at those pre-snap reads. This is all about game plan, neutralizing Aaron Donald, and like I said, keeping Tua out of that basement.
Yeah, guys, and it's interesting. Tua's going to be thrown into some tight windows no matter what. The Dolphins have the third worst average separation when targeted this season. Hopefully they can get a little more separation in this one. They're ahead of only the Titans and the Bears.
You know that one person in your fantasy league? The one who's had the wide receiver you want sitting on their bench for weeks, but won't even consider any of the trades you've been proposing? Yeah, that's so last year. This year, there's Trade Assistant with IBM Watson. It uses high-powered AI from IBM to analyze thousands of potential trades in your league and suggest deals that benefit both trading partners. Low-risk trades, equal reward. That's a win-win. Trade Assistant with IBM Watson. Official sponsors of the Win-Win.
Our Week 8 Monday Night Football matchup features the NFL's highest scoring team. Tom Brady under center for the NFC South leading Buccaneers. They take on Daniel Jones and the Giants. It's 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and the ESPN app. Our coverage, as always, begins with Monday Night Countdown at 6. And how about the Week 8 before that? This is the Ravens' 25th season in the NFL. In that time, they've been part of one of the league's best rivalries with the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's been back and forth in this series, with the Steelers holding the slight edge, outscoring the Ravens by just 7 points. So, we talked about this game a little bit earlier. Now, let's go ahead and pick it. Can't wait to see who you guys are going with. Mina, you first.
Ah, I wanted Ryan to go first so I could tear down his argument. I'm going with Baltimore, but I think it's going to be close. Because I think this Ravens defense is opportunistic. I think they will take advantage of Ben throwing into traffic. And I think the offense will have made adjustments over the bye to counter the blitz.
I'm taking the Baltimore Ravens as well, Mina. This was my pick starting the season off. And I'm with you on your second point. I believe Greg Roman and his offensive coordinator is going to find some things that they can do well, even though we all have acknowledged that they may not have the guys on the outside. This will be a Lamar Jackson-centric offense performance, and it'll be beautiful. It'll be Lamar Jackson all over this blitz going down the road, baby. Let's go.
Woo!
That's what happens when people get together and they talk all week without you. They don't see what they do. It's going to be the Pittsburgh Steelers. Ben is going to play at a high level. The weapons are going to get open. make plays down the field, yards after the catch. And this defense is going to get after Lamar Jackson's keister. They haven't made adjustments. They haven't seen anything like this. The physicality, the brutality. What they're going to bring to this game is going to be different. We're going to win. And yes, I said we. I never said we. I only talk about me.
Oh, my goodness.
But this week, it's the Pittsburgh Steelers.
We're going to pretend like you never said we. And I'm glad you opened your eyes back up because it's time for one more thing before we go. And, Ryan, we're going right back to you. What do you got?
Listen, I got Alvin Kamara versus Trevathan and Roquan Smith. Alvin Kamara has shown that he's the most valuable piece to any offense in this league. Any running back involved in the pass game and the run game the way he is a vital part when you're facing a team that can rush and play secondary great on the back end. So for me, Alvin Kamara versus those linebackers of the Chicago Bears.
Oh, man, the Jets, Patrick Mahomes, and guess who else? Le'Veon. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm on the wrong thing. The Philadelphia Eagles, this thing has been handed to you on a silver platter, okay? Carson Wentz is still healthy. Everybody else quarterback sucks, or the one in Dallas is hurt. Carson Wentz, get it done. This should be your division to take. Everybody else is bad.
I wish this was Le'Veon, but unfortunately, it's Josh Allen. We talked more about Bill Belichick and how much Ryan hates him and also puppies. We didn't talk about Josh Allen rebounding in this game. He's kind of turned into a bit of a pumpkin over the last 3 weeks. 5 for 20 on 15-yard passes. I want to see if he can get that deep ball rolling again. It's got to be an opportunity for him this Sunday.
The fact that Marcus wasn't sure where he was going, but then thought he was going to the Jets is very perplexing to me. Like, why would the Jets be top of mind? Also, Ryan Clark, I'll give you 1 second to say whether or not you really hate Bill Belichick and puppies. Do you or don't you?
I love Bill Belichick, puppies, and rainbows.
Beautiful. We'll see you next week on NFL Live. Enjoy week 8.